I used to love my morning coffee, until it stopped loving me back. The bloating, the discomfort, it wasn't worth it anymore. Then I found Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee blended with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics that's gentle on my stomach and gives me smooth, steady energy. Right now, get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Try to do is think about the greatest blessing of all in my life and yours. And without a shadow of a doubt, while we cannot place any numerical value or economic kind of substance to the value of your eyesight, to the value of your hand movement, to the value of your ability to walk and drive here, that despite our inability to give any kind of value to those specific things, that those are not the greatest blessings that you have. Yes, the eyesight is irreplaceable. Yes, your ability to walk and move your arms, your ability to drive here, us sitting in a beautiful, heated and warm space, a space that is only further warmed up by your beautiful smiles, mashallah. This is something that we cannot put a price on. That yes, we feel safety and security while our brothers and sisters in Gaza and Lebanon and Yemen and Sudan and across the world are dealing with insecurity and a lack of safety at every moment of their existence. And so we cannot put a price on that. But despite all of these favors, the greatest of all of Allah Azza wa Jalla's favors upon me and you is that, my dear sister and brother, Allah chose you to be from His Ummah. Allah chose you to be guided to this deen. Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. We praise and thanks Allah and Allah that guided us to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My dear brothers and sisters, I've asked you before and I'll ask you again, who would you be without La ilaha illallah? What would your life look like without Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? For a moment, for an hour, for the blink of an eye, for you to be void of knowing and submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to never let us live in a moment in which we are not in submission to Him. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to remain in this state of submission for the rest of our lives. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal, He tells us in the Quran, اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Be mindful of Allah the way that you ought to be mindful of Him. And there's so much that can be derived from them. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ is an indication that taqwa of Allah is something that needs work. Taqwa requires hustle and grind. Taqwa requires dedication and commitment and hard work. And that's why gatherings like this, coming to Miftah, a place where we engage in Miftah al-Qulub wal-Absar, we are able to open the real eyes of our hearts and able to see things the way that they ought to be seen. Why? So that we can live the rest of that ayah. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except in a state of true submission to Allah Azza wa Jal. Fully surrendering and submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal. My dear brothers and sisters, you don't fully surrender to Allah haphazardly. You don't fully surrender to Allah subconsciously. You don't fully surrender to Allah by being born Muslim or trying to be an average Muslim coasting through this deen. You only fully submit to Allah if every single day of your life you rise living La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And gatherings like this, intensives like this one, you traveling from near and far to be here to go to get to know the Messenger of Allah, that is how we are able to fully submit to Allah. One of the ulama, he said so beautifully, he says, "Man arifa Allah ahabbahu." The one who knows Allah falls in full love of Allah Azza wa Jal. The natural reaction of your soul is that your soul is sourced in Allah. That you only have life because Allah blew life into you, my dear brother and sister. And the only way to recharge your soul is through your reconnection with Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here you are, for a number of days, engaging with getting to know the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's something particularly unique about studying Him. You see, when you study many figures of history, you will find inspiration. When you really dive into the lives of the khulafa and the ulama, you may find parallels to your own life. But one of the ulama, he said quite remarkably, he said, the one who discovers Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they actually discover themselves within the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam. You don't really know yourself until you know the Messenger of Allah. You don't really love yourself until you love the Messenger of Allah. You are not able to see the full potentiality of the skills and the talents and the gifts of Allah in your life until you spend time connecting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And every single day that we live our lives anchored in His seerah and in His sunnah, we earn a greater chance at earning His suhbah. You know, if you close your eyes for a second, my sister and brother, and take yourself to Yawm al-Qiyamah. If you go to Yawm al-Qiyamah, there are a lot of voices calling. There's a voice of an individual, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to save us from this. And that voice will be saying, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. I wish that I was dirt. There's the voice of the mother letting go of her child. There's the voice of a person drowning in their own sweat. Then there is another voice, and that voice is saying, Ya laytani ittakhadhtu ma'a ar-rasuli sabila. If only I took with the Prophet a path. I journeyed through my life. I journeyed through my marriage. I journeyed through my college years. I journeyed through corporate America. I journeyed through every single moment of my life being a companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By accompanying with me everywhere I go the sunnah of Sayyid al-Anam and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't want to be that voice. You don't want to be the voice of the one saying, I knew the Messenger of Allah. I knew his name. I knew his family. I studied his life in Sunday school once upon a time. But I never really knew him personally. And that is not something that was ever contingent on him being alive. That famous hadith that we're always referencing. When the Prophet ﷺ, as a very matter of fact, very nonchalantly, he told the Sahaba radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim in that very famous hadith that we should visit on at least a monthly basis. That narration which he says, I yearn to be with my siblings. I yearn to be with my brothers and sisters. He considered you his family without ever having met you. فَمِنْ بَابَ أَوْلَى. Then we can assume from that, without a shadow of a doubt, that we have the capacity to be that near to him without ever meeting him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it requires us to know him not by being in his physical presence, but by knowing him through his seerah and through his sunnah. And yet I feel, dear brothers and sisters, in all honesty, like I'm preaching to the choir. Y'all are looking at me like, we've traveled from Kentucky, we've traveled from Florida, we've traveled from California. Who leaves sunny California to come all the way to Michigan? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ except as a declaration of their love of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And our Prophet is the most generous of prophets. And don't ever think that you will take a step towards his sunnah and towards his seerah, except that the reward that you get from that will be beyond your wildest dreams. one of my favorite comforts that I gain when I look at the shambles of our personal lives and the struggles that we go through is one of my favorite hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to close your eyes again. This is what I do. I just make people close their eyes. And I want you to walk through Bab al-Salam in al-Masjid al-Nabawi. And I want you to keep walking. And as you're walking towards Al-Qabr al-Sharif to give salam to my beloved and your beloved, before we even get to his grave, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I want you to see the Rawdah. Rawdatun min Riyad al-Jannah. A garden from the gardens of Jannah. Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala says it will be lifted and placed in the real Jannah. Those of you who've been to the Rawdah, you've already seen a piece of Jannah. May Allah make us from the people of Jannah. As you walk into the Rawdah, you walk through a gate, a metal gate that's gold-plated. Inscribed on top of that gate is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That hadith, I want you to hear it with your heart, not with your ears. Shafa'ati li ahli al-kaba'iri min ummati. That my intercession on yawm al-qiyamah is for the people who committed major sins from my ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment will not be looking for the ulama, will not be looking for the qurra, will not be looking for the shuhada. My Prophet and your Prophet will be looking for the most sinful amongst us. And he will be looking for us, waiting for each and every single one of us, refusing to enter Jannah until the one amongst us with the least iman walks into Jannah before him. That's my Prophet and your Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you were to keep walking and you pass by the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if you sit here right now with your heart in Medina and you physically present here, say sallallahu alayka ya Rasulullah, assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. And I swear to you by Allah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is responding to your salam, responding to your salam. That there is an angel that is tasked with going to the Messenger of Allah and saying, Umar and Muhammad and Fatima and Maryam, Ya Rasulullah, they are sending you their salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds to that salam. How else, my dear brothers and sisters, will the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam be able to recognize us on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Be able to recognize your voice? Be able to recognize your face? Because of the kathrat as-salah wa salam ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of the abundance of salah and salam that you engage in upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With this being said, I think it is appropriate that we spend some time talking about the humility of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when we think about the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam and his humility, interestingly enough, and ironically enough, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his humility is such that it started before his own prophethood sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even as a young boy, living in the house of his uncle, coming to move in with an uncle that had far too little money and far too many mouths to feed, my Prophet and your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so humble to say, I'm going to eat last. I'm going to eat last. You know, Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, he talks about the duties of brotherhood and sisterhood. And he mentions that the least that you should want for your brother is that your brother has exact access to what you have access to. The Prophet, as a young boy, 9, 10 years old, is living in the house of his uncle. His uncle's family prepares food. The Messenger of Allah says, I'm not going to eat until all of my cousins and my uncle and auntie eat. Abu Talib was so concerned for his nephew that he would put food aside for his nephew. This is a boy. This is not a prophet or a messenger. This is a young boy who says, how can I eat when my cousins have not eaten? How can I drink when they haven't drank yet? This is the humility of the Messenger of Allah. A humility that leads to generosity. You see, one of the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in reference to tawadu', a very famous narration about humility, is that the Prophet ﷺ says, "Man tawadu'a lillahi rafa'a," that the one who humbles themselves, lowers themselves for Allah, Allah is the one who elevates and honors them. Because simply by being a person of humility, you become a person who is more likely to be generous. Because of humility, you become a person who is more inclined to forgive people who wronged you, who you are entitled to not forgive them. But because of your humility, you have the heart to forgive the people that have wronged you. You have the heart to look past people that have been less than ideal with you. Because humility is the foundation of so many good characteristics that a believer has. Humility is not just humility. Humility is the key to being a abd of Allah, and humility is the key to being a khadim of the khalq. Humility is the key of being a servant of Allah, and humility is the key to being a server of His creation. Without humility, that's not something that's possible. And so the Prophet ﷺ, even from those young years, he didn't have it within himself to meet his own needs, knowing that his cousins and his uncle and aunt would not have eaten before him. This is what humility does. But the epitome of humility in the earlier parts of his life is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is a moment that I've been reflecting on deeply in the past year. And we all know that the past year of our life, as we've witnessed the genocide and the bloodshed and the devastation, has been one that has flipped us right and left and in every direction, questioning so many things about our identity, about where we are going and where we are taking ourselves as individuals and as a Muslim community. And in this past year, as I visited the seerah of the Messenger of Allah, and that's what we're tasked to do, my dear brothers and sisters. When your life changes, when you see major pivots taking place in your life, with your marriage happening or ending, with a loved one going through a diagnosis, with the beginning of an academic year, all of those are invitations. Where do I see myself in the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Where do I fit into that? Where do I fit into that? And one of the most real things that I can say is, without any exaggeration, and no matter how we feel about things politically or otherwise, no doubt this year has been extremely uncomfortable. And this year has been highly inconvenient for us. And this is not to make a global tragedy about us, but it is to say a real life experience.
This episode is brought to you by Glorify, the number one Christian daily devotional app. Everything around us changes. God doesn't. That's why I love Glorify's 21-day challenge. It helps me build a simple habit of meeting with God every day. No pressure, just consistency. With Glorify, you can start your morning by reading the Bible passage of the day, diving into Glorify's daily devotional, and wrapping up with an immersive experience called Daily Walk with God. And if you need to take a few minutes to yourself in the middle of a busy day, try one of Glorify's guided meditations or listen to their curated worship playlists for some quiet reflection. To end the day, enjoy Glorify's sleep meditations to help you wind down and put your mind and heart at ease. Whether you're a committed Christian or simply curious about faith, Glorify has something for you. Join over 20 million people who have downloaded the Glorify app and deepened their relationship with God. Listeners to the show can get full access to Glorify for just $29.99 for the entire year. That's Glorify's lowest price ever when you download the Glorify app now at glorify-app.com/redcircle. Feel closer to God this year with Glorify. Get full access all year for just $29.99 at glorify-app.com/redcircle. That's glorify-app.com/redcircle.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, Set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Experience that we are all going through, that living through a tragedy, living through a genocide, living through bloodshed and devastation, living through the vilification of innocent men, women, and children who are dying simply because they believe what you believe, that has been at the very least uncomfortable and inconvenient, if not more than that. And yet the Prophet ﷺ was living in a society that made him so uncomfortable that it drew him out of his home, and it led him up to a mountain, and it had him retreat to the cave of Hira, because he was no longer comfortable seeing the vices of the society that he was living in. He couldn't stand seeing the racism, the financial corruption, the objectification of women that had driven him out of his home, away from his family, into the mountaintops, hiding into a cave, seeking some type of serenity and solace from Allah Azza wa Jal. Not because he was worried about his own self alone, but because of his concern for his society. What happened in that cave is further uncomfortability, further inconvenience. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that state of seclusion and sanctuary for Allah, in the cave of Hira, what happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was squeezed by Angel Jibreel. He heard a voice he'd never heard before. He went through what was described as one of the most shocking and terrifying experiences of his life. Many of us, we think of the moment of wahi as like a Disney made by Pixar moment. Shining light, cool nasheed in the background, everyone's happy, there's a rainbow while he's going down. That is not the reality that you see in the books of Sirah. It was an incredibly uncomfortable moment, a highly anxiety-inducing moment, but it was a moment of uncomfortability and a moment of inconvenience that made him the messenger of Allah, that made him the beloved of Allah, that clarified his maqam, his manzila, his station with Allah Azza wa Jal. He was driven out of his home, out of his society, away from his family, up to a mountaintop for days, saying, Ya Allah, I can't stand to see my world looking the way that it is. And Allah did not hug him a hug of warmth. Allah hugged him a hug of responsibility, a hug of giving him a task, a hug of passing to him the responsibility of being a person of guidance, a person of islah, rectification to his society and the world. And my dear brothers and sisters, my messenger of Allah and your messenger of Allah had every right to come down feeling like the chosen one, feeling selected, feeling like he had every right to say what he wanted, how he wanted. How did my messenger of Allah come down from that mountain? How did he come down from that mountain? There's no other way to describe it. My dear brother and sister, he came down from that mountain humble. So humble that he was trembling. Trembling into the arms of Sayyida Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So humble that the ulama, they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam no doubt believed in La ilaha illallah. After being appointed as a messenger and prophet of Allah, no doubt he believed in La ilaha illallah. But the ulama contend that his humility was so strong that Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha believed that he was the messenger of Allah before he fully accepted that he was the messenger of Allah. Not because of his inability to believe in Allah appointing him as one, but because of his own humility. Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had to convince him. She said, لَن يُخْزِيَكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. Allah would never forsake you. Allah would never abandon you. Allah would never lower you. You are the one who feeds the four people. You are the one who stands by those that everyone escapes. You are the one who advocates for the needy. You are the one who maintains and cultivates family ties. Allah would never forsake you. Allah would never abandon you. You are the messenger of Allah. And let's go to my cousin to confirm it. He was so humble that his wife had to convince him of something he already knew here, but he wasn't convinced of it here yet because of his humility with Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at his humility. The power of humility is such that humility makes the heart grow wide and vast, able to embrace everyone around, able to embrace a spouse that is being less than patient with you, able to embrace relatives that may be less practicing than you, able to embrace a society that may not believe what you believe or adhere to lifestyles that we adhere to. That is the power of humility. It makes your heart vast enough to embrace everyone and everything around you. When the Prophet ﷺ was in the battlefield, blood spilling from his mouth, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what were the words heard from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allahumma ighfir li qawmi, fa innahum la ya'lamun. Oh Allah, forgive my people. They just don't know yet. They don't know yet better than what they know. Oh Allah, forgive my people. What about that verse? فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعُ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَ. Dear brothers and sisters, by now, you are half a seerah expert at least. You know these moments better than me. You know that those moments are moments that the Messenger of Allah had every right to say, this is the chieftains of Quraysh's fault. This is the leaders of Ta'if's fault. This is the fault of all those people that have stood against me. This is not a me problem. This is a they problem. And our Prophet was broken and shattered on the inside, having sleepless nights, worried that his people would die without believing in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is a man that was so humble that before placing responsibility on anyone, he placed responsibility on himself. That is the humility of Sayyidi wa Sayyidukum Rasulullah, my teacher and your teacher, my leader and role model in life and yours, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you notice a trend that you're not vibing with your spouse anymore as much as you used to, you're not really getting along with your children the way that you once did, you're not clicking with your friends or your clique the way that you once clicked, make no mistake, the common denominator is you. And that may very often mean that one of the key ingredients missing in our life is humility. If you look in the books of positive psychology and they say you have to be an active listener, you can't be an active listener unless you're humble. You have to be a person of service. You can't be a person of service unless you're humble. You have to be a person who stands by people in their most vulnerable moments. My dear brothers and sisters, let's be real. People will not be vulnerable with you if they feel that you think that you're better than them. How then did people think they were the most beloved of people to the Messenger of Allah, when he's a human like you? مَا أَنَا إِلَّا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. I'm nothing but a human being like you. He had 24 hours in each day, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. It is not because of how much of himself he gave to people in time. It was because of how much of himself he gave to people with his heart. How much he was able to be present with people, engaged with people, in the service of people. All of that requires humility. That my Prophet and your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was humble enough to hug a tree. Was humble enough to hug a tree. Afraid that the feelings of that tree were hurt. That my Prophet and your Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was humble enough that in a gathering like this, when he sallallahu alaihi wasallam was teaching a group of men and women, young and old, teaching them the deen in its purest form, and a young girl, in some narrations described as such, who had cognitive disabilities, and in some said physical disabilities, and in some said both cognitive and physical disabilities, that this girl approached the Messenger of Allah and said, I have a need. That the Prophet ﷺ dropped everything that he was doing and he went with the sister and he walked with her and he fulfilled her need and he came back and he said, anytime you have a need, come to me. Not go to Abu Bakr, not go to Umar, not leave something in the suggestion box. Come to me because you are worthy of me and I am worthy of serving you. That is the humility of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as I draw to a close, and wallahi, I can't say enough What an honor it is for me to be sitting here with students of the Siran, looking at your faces. I don't mean this exaggeratively, and I promise you it's not the lighting in here, but I see in your faces the light of people who love the Messenger of Allah. And I ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase you in that light. And I beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this light shine bright on the Day of Judgment. This light only stays alive with our continued engagement with the seerah and sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Your ability to shine as bright as you do right now is not a light that you're guaranteed if you drop doing the work, my dear brothers and sisters. We are not entitled to this hidayah. Every single day, in every rak'ah of your salah, in the heart of your day is your salah. And the heart of your salah is Surah Al-Fatiha. And the heart of your Surah Al-Fatiha is one single ask. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. I cannot guide me. My salah cannot guide me. My Quran cannot guide me. My ibadah and my parents' righteousness cannot guide me. Ya Allah, the only thing and only one who can guide me is you. That this guidance is a gift from you. And I'm just doing some humble effort, some scribbles on a paper in front of my master to say, Ya Allah, I'm desperate for this guidance. If you do this work, this light that I bear witness, I see in you right now, it is a light that will never fade. It will be a light that only increases. The Prophet ﷺ was asked in a narration, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Look at the mindset of the Sahaba radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Many of us were just trying to like coast through life, just get through it. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. There are people that will just barely make it into Jannah. And we're aiming to be those people. And I hear you on that. But I want you to check into the mentality of the Sahaba radwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. They were asking the real questions. The real question is, who is the most beloved of people to Allah? Who are the most beloved of people to Allah? They were not okay with being mediocre. They were not okay with being last in line. They said, if I truly love Allah, then I want to be the most beloved of people to Allah. And if we were to take a poll, what would have been the right of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to say? The Prophet wasallam was asked by his companions who knew him, who witnessed him standing the night, who heard his cries, who saw his beard soaked with tears, who felt him digging the trench, who saw him with the stones tied to his stomach, who heard his pleas with his hands raised up high. They knew who he was. He was asked categorically, very definitively, who is the most beloved of people to Allah? What could have been his answer? My dear brothers and sisters, no creation of Allah from that moment till today could have argued if he said me. He had every right to say he is the most beloved to Allah. In that moment, the Messenger of Allah did not make it about him. He made it about you and I. The Prophet ﷺ said, أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. That the most beloved of people to Allah are those that are most beneficial to the people around them. In that moment, when the Prophet ﷺ could have given the most honorable hadith to indicate his maqam with Allah, the most undebatable indication of who he is with Allah, the Messenger of Allah was humble enough to be my teacher and yours. And say 1400 years later, sitting in the Miftah Institute, if you want to be the most beloved of people to Allah, then be beneficial to every creation of Allah you come across. Every creation of Allah that you meet, every person that you speak with, be of benefit to them. That is the result of humility. Tawadu' does not just benefit you. Tawadu' doesn't just prevent you from being in the hellfire. Tawadu' benefits the world, and tawadu' humility benefits this ummah. That is the power of humility with Allah. So my dear brother and sister, we'll end with this. Make your niyyah right now that you intend to be ahabbun nasi ilallah. That you intend to be the most beloved of people to Allah. Make that niyyah right now. That you will wake up every single day until you and I return to Allah with the intention of being the most beloved of people to Allah. The recipe was given to you by the Messenger of Allah, and that is to be the one that is most beneficial to everyone around them. That requires sincerity, humility, and hard work. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. And as for those who struggle and strive and hustle and grind in this path of life, Allah says, leave it to me. I will pave the path for you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from the people of humility. We beg of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from those who love the people that He loves, love the places that He loves, love the acts that He loves. And we ask Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to make us from the people who are humble with Him and humble with His creation. Hadha wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.